everybody. Welcome to the Running Anthropologist Podcast. Today, as promised, we're kicking off our physiotherapy, or our PT series, talking to some of the best PTs I could find, people that I know and that I've found really helpful in the United States and Canada, and look forward to sharing their unique perspectives, why physiotherapy is important, some of the most common mistakes that land runners in the injury zone, and what they can do if they are injured, in small ways or big ways. This is an area that I think all of us think about and pray that we find the right resources to solve, and a little bit of sound advice or finding the right person is the right way to go. Our first PT is Rochelle Weeks. She runs Running with Rochelle, and she has free videos up that you can access. I posted links, as well as her own strength training program that runs like 4 to 5 months at a time and is super affordable and really nice vibe, really kind and slow moving. Really nice and accessible resource for folks. I highly recommend connecting with her if you have questions or if you want to learn more about what we share today in the podcast. So without further ado, let's get started. Final reminder before we start the interview, please connect with us on runninganthropologist.com or our website, and that's our website, or on Facebook or Instagram for the links from today's episode that are shared or on the show notes. You can just click under the show notes and find the references that we talk about today. Okay, enjoy the episode. And Rochelle, welcome to the podcast. Rochelle is a running therapist and a marathon runner. And she offers a lot of great free resources to folks from her wealth of expertise and physical therapy and running and coaching. And for me and my runners, you've been definitely really a gift because I think it's very approachable. And the things that you share are always meaningful and very positive, both on Instagram and YouTube and then through, of course, your work. So welcome to the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
So, Rochelle Weeks, has been, I don't know how long you've been practicing. Maybe we could start off with that and you can tell us kind of how long you've been running and also how long you've been a physio, up in Canada.
Yeah, sure. I graduated in 2009, so I'm almost 15 years practicing as a physiotherapist now. And the first 11 years looked a lot different because I was at a rural hospital back home in Labrador. But then when I moved to Ottawa in 2018, I just love running and I started treating runners. And the more I treated runners, the more runners sought me out. And then I created the Running with Rochelle platforms and that kind of brought more runners in. And now I'm to the point where probably 90% of my caseload is just runners, which I love because runners are so motivated and they're very compliant because if you promise to get them back running and if they listen, they're really good at doing what you say. Whereas like a lot of physios struggle because I gave this person their exercises and they didn't do any of them. I find I don't really have that problem as long as I explain to runners there's light at the end of the tunnel with regards to getting back to running pain-free. And running itself, I was actually a competitive swimmer all growing up. And then running was just easier once I finished university to fit into a busy schedule. Like I was working 9 to 5 and I was teaching fitness classes and to just be able to like go out the door for a quick run and come back was great. And then I just started signing up for half marathons and I've done about 15 of those now. And I've done 3 marathons. I'm training for Chicago Marathon right now. I qualified for Boston, but if anybody's paying attention in the news right now, I only have a 6-minute buffer, so I might not get in because so many people applied. But yeah, I feel like I've kind of combined my love for running and my career, so I'm in this really happy situation where I just really am enjoying what I do.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, no, that's a really good, I'm glad that you got into it at a young age, kind of as an approach that was fun and felt good. Because I think that really fosters a good positive relationship with running, and not kind of making it your whole identity, but just something that you know you love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And before we dive into PT, I would love to share, you know, some of the things that you know, made you think about even considering physiotherapy. And was it, you know, was it your experience as a competitive swimmer, or was it your own running, or just wanting to help people to do whatever they enjoy doing?
Yeah, I think definitely that, like, I enjoyed the idea of having a career where I helped people. I didn't see myself as someone who would sit behind a desk and have a desk job and be crunching numbers or writing, or I like the idea of helping people. And then the more, like, I also played soccer competitively and I rode, and I would get injured, and then friends would get injured, and then to see them go through full circle, like break the ankle, cast comes off, and now, well, look, they're running again, and hey, look, they're stronger than they ever were before. That always intrigued me. So in high school, I was kind of like, I'm going to be a physio. So I went and got my kinesiology degree, and the more I learned about it, the more I loved it. And then I did my placements and I got into physio school, and I was like, yeah, this is where. So I was one of those lucky people that kind of from a young age, I had a good idea of what I wanted to do. And then the more I got into it, the more I liked it. And the good thing with physio is you can do anything. Like, I've got a friend who does neuro rehab, and she's just working with patients who have had strokes all day. And then here I am working mostly with marathoners, ultra runners, people who are beginner runners. And it's really very rewarding to just spend the day getting people back doing what they love.
Now, Rochelle, are you, you know, for those that don't know Canadian geography so well, you mentioned being in Labrador for some time, and now you're in a much bigger city with more runners, I would guess. What was that like, or what was that intentional, and how did you, you know, did you move to Labrador, or are you from Labrador originally?
I'm from Labrador, so Labrador's got 30,000 people, and it's huge. Labrador is really big. Like, it's bigger than the UK and more. Like, you could fit the UK in Labrador land-wise. Huh. So it was a community of 10,000 people I grew up with in Goose Bay. And if you wanted to leave, if you didn't fly, you were probably about 2 full days on a dirt road at the time to get out of there. It was very isolated, like rural north. It's changed a little bit since then. But I had my daughter, and we had intentions of leaving, or like having a family and not raising our children in Goose Bay. And so when I had my daughter, and then she had her first seizure when she was 4 months old.
Oh, wow.
And she had ended up developing epilepsy, but she basically had a few seizures, and we were really living in quite a rural area. So we would get medevaced to the capital of Newfoundland and Labrador, which was like a 2-hour flight, and lot of money to get back, and staying in hotels. And this happened a couple times, so we started saying, okay, we can't really live here. This doesn't look like it's going away, and this is going to be our life, so we need to get out of here. And we just started researching the best places to live in Canada. We wanted to stay in Canada, and we wanted to stay sort of on the east, because our family, we were all on the east coast. And then everything we read about Ottawa, just the running and hiking and canoeing culture here, and lots of great physio opportunities. And then we looked at the children's hospital, and it's one of the best in the country.
Oh, wow.
So then we were kind of like, okay, I guess we're going to go to Ottawa, but this is a city of 1 million people. So I was expecting that small town vibe to just forever be gone. And I was going to have a really hard time making friends and getting to know people. But I joined a running club when I moved to Ottawa, and now, like, 4 or 5 of my closest friends are people I met in this club, basically. And we go on events together, we travel together, we do our long runs together. So I feel like I just have this really lovely community, and I'll be out for a run and I'm waving to people that I recognize, which I never, living in Labrador, I didn't think that would happen. So it is a big city, but the running community here is just absolutely amazing.
That's really interesting. I can definitely relate to that, that feeling of having met one's closest friends in a running club, and just like things just work because of that. Like, everything else kind of works around it, and you just know that, okay, this is someone I can relate to, and someone that I meet, you know, right away when you get to. That happened to me in Tampa as well. I'm originally from up north, as you know. And it's really a gift. And of course, then I'm just assuming here that that was kind of the beginning of meeting runners that you could serve in your practice as well.
Yeah, I think I treat about half of my running club right now because they're all in the middle of training for these big builds. So it's a good way to meet people for work as well, for sure.
Well, since you touched on it, I might ask you again about your own running a little bit. So I know that you've been distance running for quite some time now and that you're up for the Chicago Marathon here shortly. What has, I guess, how has being a physiotherapist, you know, how does that knowledge, do you think, change your own running practice or the way that you see the sport?
Oh, I feel like it's helped me be more patient and consistent, I think, because as a physio, I've realized a lot of the runners that get injured, 80% of runners get injured every year. Mm-hmm. So if you look at a group of 10 runners, 8 of them are going to have an injury within the year. And an injury is described as like something that holds you back from running for more than a couple of runs. Like you miss 3 or 4 runs minimum because of it, then that's classified as an injury. Okay. And usually it's just from doing too much, too soon, too fast. So the more I was getting injured when I first got into running, like in 2010, 2011, and then learning as a physio all the reasons for injuries, and then specializing and going on and doing courses that are for the injured runner, I would just be learning about it and be like, oh yeah, this is me. This is why I'm getting injured. I'm doing these things like just ramping up training too quickly, adding in speed too aggressively. So I feel like I've become a much more patient runner. And I'm not trying to take off big chunks of time and take my weekly mileage from 70 to 110 kilometers a week. Like I'm just trying to like bite off small pieces every build and do a little bit at a time. So it's more sustainable. And I feel like that's what I try to like push onto my runners as a running coach and physio as well, that they like, if you ease into things nice and gradually and you're patient and you see the big picture and you maintain that consistency, that's really when things start going your way and you see less injuries.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm really glad you mentioned that. I think probably if you're a long-term marathoner, if you've ran more than a marathon or two, you develop this relationship with someone that you can trust, usually a physiotherapist, who doesn't really, you know, who doesn't see everything as an emergency and that you need to stop running completely and you're going to, you know, you're going to destroy your knees or, you know, this is really bad, you know, but rather, you know, this is on a whole really good. It just happens that right now you're going through an injury and there are some preventative things. You know, I'd be interested to hear from you about what percentage of, you know, things of running is really, of being a good runner is preventative, you know, is, you know, on that physio side or that strength building side, you know, for you personally or for the folks that you work with?
Yeah, I think the runners that don't prioritize injury, prioritize injury prevention in a certain way, they just don't reach their full potential because often what's happening is they're going over that edge a little bit, like they're pushing themselves a little bit too hard. They're not giving enough time to recover. And then they end up with these injuries and then they're not patient to deal with the injury. So then the injury gets worse because they're not scaling back on what they're doing. It's just kind of more and more and more. So I feel like even at the elite level, like I don't know if you were tuned into the London Marathon at all, but it came to a point when there's all these elite athletes who were just dropping out of the London Marathon. They were all injured. And that's when, at the elite level especially, they're trying to figure out like how much can I push myself without hurting myself, and they're walking this really fine line. And then for us more normal people who are not professional marathoners, we've got full-time jobs and, you know, I have a six-year-old and people have kids at home, and that line comes a lot quicker if you're not careful to prevent injury. So I think the training program and being patient and consistent is huge, but then doing strength training, especially for anyone over the age of 35, 40, like when you get into more of that master's runner category and you start to lose a little bit of muscle mass every decade, that's when, like, really, if you're serious about your running after the age of 40, you have to be doing strength training. And it doesn't need to be like 3 hours a week, but even like 20 minutes twice a week, just to do some preventative maintenance and try to prevent any issues from starting, because you're potentially going to lose muscle mass if you don't do it.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've heard from, and in Galloway coaching, I coach Run, Walk, Run for marathoners, a lot of them first-time marathoners, and one of the things that I hear most often is that there are so many resources out there now, you know, that it's hard to make sense of them all and know what's good for them, you know, because some they're like, oh, this is really hard, and they're worried about getting injured from the strength training. You know, what would be some of your tips for those kind of people that are kind of just getting started and not sure where to add and what to add?
I think trying to find a resource or a person and just that you trust, that has good credentials, that stays up to date on the recent research, and focus on just that. Because if you go onto Instagram, for example, and you type in strength training exercises for runners, you're going to get inundated with like hundreds and thousands of exercises. And it can become really overwhelming. And then you have to be careful, because sometimes people look and it's like, well, this person has like a million followers and they're saying to do this, so I should probably do this. But I've seen like one of the runners I follow, she's a running coach, and she's one of these people with like over a million followers. And the other day she's posting like, if you have Achilles pain, make sure you do these three exercises, and they're all stretches. And if you look at the literature and the research on treating Achilles tendonitis, stretching is not part of the process. Actually, it's something to be avoided. So it's you got to be careful that you don't, in this day and age with the amount of followers, doesn't mean they're following expertise and they're up to date on the research. So I think try not to get overwhelmed, but find someone who you know is like is an experienced runner, but is also staying up to date with best practice, and then follow them, and don't follow like 20 different recommendations, because you're just going to get completely overwhelmed. I usually tell runners, like, simple is better when it comes to strength training. So I usually just say, hit your quads, your hamstrings, your glutes, your calves. Try to make it mostly single leg activities, because that's what running is. Keep it lower reps, like 3 sets of 8, as opposed to 3 sets of 15 to 20. And work on getting strong. Like, if something is easy after 8 reps, add weight, make the resistance band heavier. Challenge yourself in those 20 minutes, and you can see benefit in just like 4 to 6 weeks, really.
No, that's a really good point, because I do see a lot of runners who kind of have this routine that they already have and that are not really challenging themselves much. But I do see in your practice and some of the things that you share out in videos, for example, on YouTube or through your program, that you do eventually add weights, but you add them very slowly. And if you're injured, obviously you're not adding weights, but you do that incrementally. One of the challenges that I've seen that a lot of runners have when they go to see a PT is that they're, you know, maybe one side of their body is a lot stronger than the other one, or they have, you know, they're like really good at stretching, and one side of the body is doing great, and the other side is really struggling, so they're overcompensating and maybe suffering other injuries. What does the research tell us about, like, if you're going through that and you're, you know, you have a marathon coming up, but you're not really fully recovered, what would your advice be to those kind of people?
Yeah, it's tricky. If you have a big race coming up, you can still benefit from doing some single leg activities, but I would keep it more what I like to call activation exercises. So you're not doing these big single leg weighted deadlifts or Bulgarian split squats. It's more, you know, banded hip flexor, monster walk, hamstring curls, with like a lot of little mini band work. And as long as you're just keeping it light and to 10 minutes, it's not going to really negatively impact your running at the end of a big build. But what I usually like to do is, once the race is done and then you're in the off season. So for example, like you're doing New York, you said, If someone's listening and they're doing New York and they have all these muscle imbalances, they can work on it a little bit in a cautious way between now and then. But then if they don't have another race till, say, May is their next A race, December, January, and February is really going to be their off season. And that's when they should really say, okay, time to say goodbye to these muscle imbalances. I'm going to address this one-sided weakness. And they ramp up their strength training efforts. And maybe the running comes down a little bit. They still maintain a good base, but if they're normally running 80 kilometers a week, maybe they do 40 to 50. But then I talk in kilometers, so I don't know.
Yeah,
what that
no,
is
that's
in
great.
Miles.
That's great. I think a lot of runners will recognize the kilometers anyway. So 5K, 10K,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, they can get the calculator out and do the math on Google as they're listening. But yeah, just like tone down the mileage a little bit and like ramp up the strength training so that you deal with those muscle imbalances in the off season, so that when your training ramps up again and you start building mileage, you feel really strong. And then if you were doing 3 days a week, you can go to two. Hmm. And like 4 to 6 weeks out from your race, you can go to 1 day a week. And if you were doing 45-minute sessions, you can go down to 30 and then down to 20 as your race gets closer. So it's kind of like as your running ramps up, the strength comes down, but it doesn't disappear. Hmm. And when the running is lower because you're in your off season, you ramp up the strength to deal with it. So it's kind of that periodization of prioritizing one or the other, depending on where you are in your season, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. No, I haven't heard it quite explained that way. So that's really useful, kind of thinking of it like a balancing act between, you know, your races, your mileage, and your strength. Okay.
Yeah, because if someone tries to push both at the same time, that's often when either they're going to get into injury trouble or their runs just start to feel awful because they're so tired from doing heavy strength sessions 3 times a week. And they're trying to do a 30K long run on really tired legs, and it just doesn't go well together.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. And at some point, it has diminishing returns, right? People think, oh, the more strength training I do, the better. But then at some point, you get diminishing returns, especially if you're also doing long runs and speed work or what have you. So I wanted to ask you, a couple of the last things I wanted to ask you were about challenges and successes. What are some of the big challenges that you've seen either from individuals or more generally in your practice that you've had to overcome or that others have had to overcome?
I think it's that quick fix culture. You get an injury and oh, you just need to buy new shoes, or you just need to stretch that muscle, or you just need to do like go in and see a physio and she'll manipulate your ankle and then your ankle pain will be gone. So I think trying to change the mindset with runners when they get injured, that often there is no quick fix and the injury happened gradually over time. It's a gradual onset injury. It's not like you fell and sprained your ankle. It's like this little niggle in the Achilles started like 6 weeks ago and now it's gotten progressively worse. And because it comes on gradual and it's an overuse injury, it takes a lot of educating and people having patience and being consistent with rehab to get the injury to go away. And sometimes runners are just not wanting to accept that. And then they go on to the next healthcare professional looking, hunting for that quick fix. And then you get healthcare professionals that are like, oh, it's the Achilles tendon. I'm just going to grasp in that and you'll be able to do your marathon no problem. And then they get that, it looks like a butter knife, like, boomerang, and they're scraping and scraping the tendon and it really, really hurts. And then they're thinking, oh, well, it really hurts, so it must be fixed. It's working and I better do this every 3 days until my race. And it's this quick fix and I'm going to lay on a table and you fix me, when behind the scenes, the person's sleeping 5 hours a night and they're not doing any strength training and they're doing like 60% of their weekly mileage, high intensity, and they don't know how to run easy. And there's all these like things just screaming to be fixed, but they're like, yeah, just like get the cups and cup that calf because my calf is injured. So it's trying to like teach runners to be patient and fix the root cause of the issue as opposed to just putting little band-aids and then wondering why they're always injured. That's probably what I struggle with the most.
Yeah, no, I hear the frustration in your voice. You know, it's like, oh, I see this day to day. But that I like that you touched on, you know, the nutrition and the sleep. And then also the, you know, whatever you want to call it, the 80-20 rule or the, you know, the running slow to later run fast. I like starting with that very basic stuff and then like, okay, now we'll deal with your injury slowly. It's not going to heal overnight, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, that's really good to hear.
Yeah.
And okay, so let's go on to very briefly any of the successes or the joys in your practice that you'd like to share or that come to mind?
I think I can think of a few examples, but probably the best part of being a running physio is that usually when a runner comes injured, it's because there are certain training errors, and maybe there's muscle imbalances, and maybe there's form issues. So when we address, you know, the low cadence and the weak calves and the fact that they're running too much of their week at high intensity, their pain starts to settle, but then they get faster. So then I get these emails being like, I just PB'd my 10K, or I just PB'd a half marathon, and I, you know, my injury not only didn't bother me, but I took a minute off my time or whatever. Those are really satisfying. And I have this one example of this woman who had plantar fasciitis issues. And it was really interesting because her running form was beautiful. She'd been running for a long time and she was training for a marathon. And strength-wise, she was really good and she was doing smart things. It's just she had this plantar fascia thing going on. And the calf on that side was quite weak. So literally all I did was give her calf raises with a rolled towel under her toes to bias the plantar fascia, modified the training volume a little bit, then built up more gradually. And she ended up qualifying for Boston, which she had been like minutes away from doing every year for like 5 years.
Wow.
And she qualified by like 4 or 5 minutes. And she was so excited and she was thanking me. And I was like, all I did was give you calf raises. But it just showed like what something so, such a little thing could have such a big impact. Like her calves got stronger and then her plantar fascia pain went away and she ran faster just because she was built for the marathon more.
Oh, that's so cool. No, that's great. I'd love to hear that kind of story. And I hope to hear a lot more. As I mentioned to you, we'll be sharing out 2 more PTs that I know and just kind of get a holistic perspective. But as we kind of close out here, I know that you've spent time building community, both where you are in person and also online with the folks that you work with, the trainings that you do. What do you think the role is of community and of coaching and that kind of stuff in running?
Oh, I think it's so important. Running is an individual sport, but in a way it's not, because often it's not very often you meet someone who just does all their runs solo and they don't have a coach and they don't have friends that they talk to running about running with. It's something that you're often training with people. You might be in a club or you're picking each other's brain on injuries. You're learning from your friend's mistake that they did this at their marathon and you're not going to do that. Like, I think it just makes you such a smarter and better runner if you surround yourself with people who are into what you do, but then people who maybe know more about it than you and are faster than you, and then you can kind of learn from them and apply it to your own practice, whether it's, you know, being a physio or running. I think it's huge. And I think it's something that this sport really, it's an individual sport, but it's not.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you. That's really, thank you for sharing that. And thanks for your time. I would like folks to be able to find you. I know that I found you on Running with Rochelle. What are some other ways people can connect?
Yeah, that's the main way. I have an Instagram and Facebook platform or whatever you call it called Running with Rochelle. And I try to post just tips, whether it's strength training or running advice there pretty much every day. So that's probably the easiest way to find me. Yeah. And if anybody's in Ontario or in Ottawa, like I work in the capital of Canada, and it's, if you ever want to visit Ottawa, reach out and let me know, because there's a lot of really cool running routes and groups that you can get on. We might even be able to go for a run together.
And there is an Ottawa Marathon, right?
Oh, there is. Yeah. It's Boston Qualifier. It's every May.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
All right.
Yeah.
All
run
right.
Ottawa hosts it every year, and they're a great organization.
Okay. Yeah, that could be one for the books, a lesser known one that folks need to come see Ottawa for sure.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Rochelle, thank you so much for your time. I think you added a lot of perspective to physio for those that might be afraid or might be thinking about it and wondering what it is, as well as some of your own background. And we really appreciate your time once again.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, Mark.
All right, Rochelle, happy running.
You too.
This has been the Running Anthropologist Podcast. So glad that you are here. Please connect with Rochelle on any of those links that we post in the show notes or on her YouTube or Instagram channel. Again, I can't recommend highly enough to find a local physio if you are currently dealing with an issue that may be solved by a PT or you're just not sure. More prevention is always better to solve long-term issues or prevent long-term issues in our running. And also, if you don't have one, to get started on a simple strength training routine. If you're interested in finding one that you can use and being kind of coached along the way, Rochelle does offer that 4 to 5 month program. I know she's got another one coming up. And I believe that they just meet on Facebook in a Facebook group. Very affordable, so you can connect with her that way. Or I'm sure she's open to answering easy questions online if you just send her a message. And next up in our series, we have another PT who comes from a different background, but is still a great runner and offers some more advice in the next episode. So thanks again for tuning in, and we'll also be sharing out very soon some information from fall marathons and interviewing folks both in Detroit and New York about their marathon experience and see if they have any issues that have been solved by PTs. Perhaps getting in or out of injury through some of their wisdom. So until next time, again, wishing you and yours happy running.